as we watch the video presentations in the Sunday School Hour, I was reminded of how much a cappella singing they do. And when our three ladies came and I knew they were going to sing a cappella, I said something to them about not having drums for them. But I was reminded of how often I enjoyed, and I'm sure there are proper names for these different instruments, but they have those set of three drums, and then they have the, I'm going to call it the horizontal drum. I noticed there was just a little boy playing that in one of the videos, and how blessed it was to hear that singing and nothing but percussion behind it. And by the way, Anita is an accomplished violinist. She played, and in fact, well, I guess I've seen it on videos since then, but it was when we were in India, that was the first electric violin that I saw, but I've seen others since then. In any event, it is a delight to have them back with us, and some of you are meeting Anita for the first time in person. Others of you, I know my wife, for example, well, as Anita said earlier, we've just become family because through Facebook and these different means, we really keep in touch with each other. And so it is a delight to have them with us today. Won't you come now and share with us as God has laid it on your heart?
So thank you once again for giving me this beautiful opportunity. So very quickly, last time I shared my testimony here. Also, again, I will share brief my testimony, how Lord has changed my life. Because when you see the ministry, it is very important to know that how I became Christian, how I became believer, and how I became a missionary. And so that we can do all this work the Lord has gave us. So before that, I would like to just to share with you how I became born in the Christian family. So when I was born, in the Christian family. And my great-grandfather, he was a strong Hindu man. He used to worship many idols. And his profession was, he used to have so much land, and he used to take care of the land. So, in the middle of the night, the many animal comes and they destroy the land and destroy the crops. So, what he used to do, he used to sleep in the night, and so that the animal will not come and destroy the crops. So he used to sleep in the night in the bed. He used to take the bed and put it in the middle of the field, and he used to sleep with bunch of his servant or friends, whatever. So he used to sleep. One midnight, suddenly he heard some noise and he got up, and then he didn't realize what is this, why this noise is. So he started looking, and there was his friends was there, nobody was there. So he was alone, and he used to put the mosquito net. Inside the mosquito net he was sleeping, and then he saw nobody is there. Then he saw a big Royal Bengal tiger. He's sitting very close to him, and he was wanted to attack my grandfather. You know that he was so scared, and he thought, today is my last day. And you know that when we are difficult time, so we remember God. And that is how he started praying, and he remembered all his God and goddesses. And he prayed to his God and goddesses will protect him. But nothing happened. So the tiger was coming more and more close to him. So probably what he used to say, he was... The mosquito net, because of the mosquito net, the tiger was a little confused and he could not attack, but he wanted to attack him. So he started praying to all his god and goddesses, but the tiger was coming more close to him. So then he decided, I will remember all the god and goddesses, even that other religion also, I will remember. If anybody will protect me, I will follow him. So he started praying to some god and goddesses. You know that India, we have 33 million god and goddesses, but he didn't remember that, 33 million. But he just very famous goddesses, he started praying. Then the tiger was not going, but he's coming more and more close to him. Then he started praying to Muslim, Allah, if you are a true God, please protect me. So in the last he prayed, he didn't know even much Christian. He don't know about much Christian. And those times the British were ruling. So he said, he just started praying, the Christian God, if you are a true God, please protect me today. So then as soon as he prayed, he just used the Christian God. Within few seconds, he saw the tiger just turn and he just went towards the jungle. And he was shocked. He said, I prayed Christian God and the tiger went like somebody told tiger, go from here. Within few seconds, tiger went. And then he was there for 1 hour. He didn't come out from the mosquito net. He thought probably tiger again will come back. But after 1 hour, he came home and he shared all the story. And then he said, I'm going to follow Christian God. And the family was very upset. They said, we are a Hindu and we worship so many God and goddesses. And you are going to worship the Christian God? He said, no, I just want to find out who is Christian God. Then he found Bible, and then he found some people, and they share about him, about Jesus, and he committed his life to Jesus. So, today, if you go to my village, that village name is a Christian village, in the big signboard near my village, so the road that is written like you have your, the place, you are coming, so name will be there. So the name is Christian village. More than 25,000 now Christians are there, and we have big church there. So he was the man, first he committed his life to Jesus. So that is how that family, from that family I come to, I come from. Since that time, there was no evangelist. But I believe the Lord brought the tiger to save 25,000 people, The Lord can, nothing is impossible for God. But many times we think we born in the Christian family, we are saved, we will go to heaven. But it's not like that. When the childhood, when I was very small, and I was probably 12 years old, I mixed with so many friends, and that friends, they were not good friends. So I started smoking and doing all kind of bad things. Then age of 14, when I was 14 years old, somebody gave me a drugs and I took, and I really enjoyed, and that every day I started taking, and every day taking, then it is became, I was so addicted for almost 6 years. I was so addicted, that I was so blind. Without drugs, I cannot live for 1 hour. That was my situation. I was so thin. And 2 times I attempt suicide. So I thought there is no point of living. So I better to die. So I tried 2 times, but Lord has protected me. Now I realize why God has protected my life. So then my mother was a good believer. She always counseled me. But I was always in my mind that there is no power, no strength can change me. So I went to my sister's place, and then I received a letter from my mother. She wrote me the small letter. She wrote that you are a good person, but because you are mixed up with a bad friend and you are doing like this thing, and if you believe and if you humble yourself, if you believe Jesus, that Jesus can help your life. And she just wrote 2 chapters, Psalm 51, And 141, in that letter, she said, she wrote, David was humble, and when he confessed, and the Lord forgave him. And if you forgive, humble and confess your sin, the Lord can change. So I received that letter. So I was just take it very, you know, casual. I said, there is no God that can change me. So, but after maybe 1 week or 10 days, I receive a letter. My mother was very serious. All of a sudden, she was, you know, serious. And after, you know, 7 days in the hospital, she was in a coma and she died. So that made me very upset. And but I could not leave the drugs. I could not drink, although I was very sad. I was to pray, Lord, if you are true God, please give my mother. I was telling other people have God, other people have a mother, why am I lost my mother? So that is what I was to think. So, but what happened? I started reading every day the Psalm 51 and 141. I said, Lord, if you are a true God, I don't know you. People say that you are a true God and living God. If you are a true God, please help me so that I will have hate of this. I will not have desire to take these drugs. So I just prayed for a few months. I don't remember how many days I prayed, but one day I was traveling and I took the drugs, cigarette, everything. All the bad stuff was with me. So that day I said, Lord, if you are a true God, from tomorrow when I get up, I will not have this desire. If you are a true God, then give me strength. So that is how I prayed. And you don't believe that I prayed. I was traveling in the train. I cannot explain what I experienced that day. When I get up in the morning, my station came, I get up from the train. It was such a joy, such a happy, you know, I could just feel the presence of God. You know, you do not know someone and you hear about him, but if you meet him, you will know who he is. That is how I felt. I was the presence of God. And I was so joy, so happy. I had no desire about the drugs. You know, the first time, after 6 years, first time, I didn't have any desire. And I took everything from my pocket and I threw it in the dustbin, and the Lord spoke to me. Lord spoke to me, if you remain with me, if you humble, if you walk with me, every day I will strengthen you and I will help you. You will be continue grow, you know, the peace, the joy that today you have received. So that was in 1984, and then I came home, and after a few days, I never wanted to be in a ministry. When I see the pastor, I used to be very scared. I said, I will never be in the ministry because I had to stand before people and preach. But everything was closed for me. And then one day the Lord spoke to me. I really cried, Lord, what is my future? And the Lord spoke to me, the life you received, the joy you have experienced, will you not go? There are thousands of people are today. They have no peace. They do not know the living God. Will you not go and tell about them, about me? So I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to serve you. The Lord said that I will help you. So I just committed my life. In 1985, I committed my life, and I went through 3.5 years. In the ministry, training, and that after that, 1989, the Lord led me to join Source of Light, and I'm with Source of Light. So Lord has blessed me. Sometimes the Lord take you to the wilderness. I lost my mother. I had questioned why I lost my mother. You know, my Lord took my mother in order to save my life, and through me, so that he wanted to save thousands of thousands of people. So I really praise God. Lord has given me a beautiful wife and children, and she will share about the ministry, what we are doing.
were, as you all know, we are with Source of Life Ministry, and Sanjeev just completed 30 years in the ministry. And as we see the slides. The India's population is like 1.21 billion people, so we have a lot of people there. And in Nepal, it is 29.3 million. We have more of Hindus staying there, and we work among the Hindus. We have Muslims also, but the Christian percentage is very less, just 2.3% in India, and in Nepal, it's just 1.4%. And we have a Bible correspondence ministry, and we have you know, personal evangelism. We do door-to-door evangelism. It's in the cities as well as in the villages. And but in if you go to the villages, it takes some time because they cannot use a bike, they cannot use any vehicle. They have to walk on, you know, they have to use their two legs, and sometimes they have to walk through the jungles. And sometimes it takes the whole day for them to reach a particular village. And we have discipleship training, we have leadership training, we have train up the child, you know, we work among the like the poor children, we teach them secular education. And we also have a program where we you know, many of them are have a lot of addictions, and so we teach them about AIDS. And then, you know, it's like a mission field for us where we share about Jesus to them. You know, so this is, we live in New Delhi. And as you can see the photographs there, this is our office, and this is where we come for prayer. Prayers is very important for us. And where all our evangelists, when they share about, they give their reports, we pray for them. And this is one fellowship group. We have 325 fellowship groups, the Bible study groups, where we teach them from the Word of God. They all are coming from a Hindu background, and they don't know anything about the Bible. They're very superstitious, and they have lot of, their thinking pattern is very, very different. And we have to teach them right from the start. It could be a big group, it could be even one individual, but we go and we teach them from the Word of God. This is a dedication ceremony. I'm just going ahead with the slides. She just came to our office, and she wanted to know more about the Lord. She's from a Catholic background, and I gave her almost 2 hours, you know, just to share right from the scratch, you know, and everything I shared to her about the gospel. And that very day itself, she committed her life to the Lord. And here she is taking baptism. And this is a photograph of people going to take baptism. We have a very good youths, very active. Some of them are working, some of them are studying, but all are actively involved. They have their own like prayer meetings. They have their own Bible study. We took them on a mission trip to Himachal Pradesh, and they did everything. I mean, I and Sanjeev, we didn't have to do anything. You know, they arranged everything. They went and, you know, met many believers and prayed for them, and it was a wonderful time. And they were also motivated. This is our church in New Delhi, and you can see my daughter. She is playing the keyboard, and they are all involved in the music. This is one of our leadership meeting we had in New Delhi. Now we have a ministry in Himachal Pradesh, about whom brother was, pastor was talking about. And this is the place, Roru, where we often go over there. And in Himachal Pradesh, there are like, you know, it's a mountain, you know, it is a mountainous area. When you enter this particular place, you will see a big board saying the land of gods and goddesses. So on every mountain, you will see a temple and a different idol. Like, you know, there are 33 million gods and goddesses. So every mountain has one temple and different idols. And that is on top of the mountains. Even on the, you know, plain area also, you will find plenty of mountains. And So yeah. many. You know, normally when we go around, you will see them carrying their idols with them. You know, they go from, you know, one particular village and then they make a lot of noise and carry that, idol with them. And then they go to a particular village or go to their house and they think it's very good for them. And but in this particular area, what happens is there are a lot of satanic activities. Like, you know, most of them are like demon possessed. You know, we almost all our believers have come from such a background. All our evangelists have come from such a background. And when, you know, they just go from one mountain to the other. They go to one mountain and they say, oh, maybe this God will help me. And then they'll go and sacrifice, you know, animals like, you know, the goats or anything. And they spend a lot of money and then it doesn't work. Then they go to another mountain. Let's go to that mountain. Maybe that idol will help. So they just go from, you know, mountain to mountain, idol to idol. And they don't help anyway. And, you know, there is someone who shares the gospel to them. Come, you know, come to the church there, you know, you will get help. And these people are delivered from, you know, these evil spirits in their life. And many a times, it's not that particular individual. Along with that particular individual, because that life is changed. They were, you know, acting like, you know, very funny and, you know, doing all kind of things, you know. And suddenly they are, you know, fully all right. And it's not just one person. The entire family, they start coming to the church. And then we share the gospel. And then we lead them also to the Lord. And so these are some of the pictures. As you can see here, the youth meetings. This was a ladies' meeting that we had. Again, a ladies' meeting that we had. Like, I go time to time with him. And whenever I go, I take the opportunity to teach the women there. This is one of the church that we have. This is a Sunday school, the children's Sunday school. This is a youth meeting that they are having. This is one of the fellowship group in Himachal. This is again a meeting they are having. This is one of the ladies' meeting that we had in another place in Himachal Pradesh. And this is Sunday school, the children's Sunday school. This is a children's Sunday school. All these, we have different places. We have 34 churches. So they are all the pictures that you see are from different places. This is one church and here they have come for their Bible study. This is one fellowship group and this is one, this was a 10 days discipleship meeting they had in Himachal Pradesh. This is one fellowship group. So these are all the pictures that you can see over here. They come for study. And this is a testimony of a cow. I would like to share about this cow. You know, the cow was sick for 21 days and she could not stand. And the lady whom you see, she is just praying over here. I don't know how to use this anyway. The lady who is there, she, you know, she called the pastor and she said, you come and pray for my cow. So the pastor came. And along with them, few believers, they gathered there. And as you can see, they, you know, held him and they touched their hands and they prayed for the cow. And the cow is fully all right. It is alive. It can stand on its feet and it is giving milk. So that was also a very good testimony. And this is one of the fellowship group. Now, this photograph that you see is from a village called Dodra Kwar. Now, in order to go, this is a village, a very remote area, high up in the mountains. And if you have to go to this particular village, you have to cross a mountain which is 13,000 feet high. So you go up like this and then you have to again come down. And then in between you have to go straight and then you come to this particular village. And the houses are normally, you see, like this. And previously there were no roads. Now there are roads which you would not call roads. But within, I think after we go back, we are leaving on the 14th of October, the next to next Monday. And after 1 week, maybe after getting, after taking rest and, you know, recovering from the jet lag, probably we have to go to this particular place because we have baptisms and other meetings over there. So these are the houses over there, and this is how they dress up over there. And he was the first believer there in Dodrakwar. He was sick. There's no hospital, no doctors there. And normally they have to come down the mountain to come to a city so that they can get the treatment. He came down, he was sick. And when he was down, somebody shared the gospel and he went back to this place. At that time, there were no roads. And you have to walk all the way, the 13,000 feet, and then they have to go there. And he went and shared the gospel to his family and others. And now his son is our evangelist over there. And we have a church there, a small church building, not the churches that you see here. So just remove it out of your imagination. It is just a small room, you know, with a stone roof, you know, it's like that. And we have around 150 believers there. So I'd like to share with you about this boy's testimony. This boy is from Dodrakwar village, and he fell down from, like the house you saw, he fell down from there. And there was no heartbeat. And all the villagers, they gathered around him, and then they said, he's dead, you know, and there's no heartbeat, and then what should we do? And then they decided, let's take him to the church. So remember, even the Hindu villagers were there. And they all went and they took him to the church so that the church can pray for him. And they all gathered and they prayed, and they continuously prayed for 3.5 hours. After 3.5 hours, this boy, he moved. He showed that he had life, and they immediately picked him up and they said, let's take him to the hospital. Now again they have to go up and then, you know, come down till they come to the city. But they were halfway down the road when this boy was fully active, fully alive, and he was just talking normally. And then they decided that there's no need to take him to the hospital, let's go back. And he's still alive, he's very good, nothing has happened to him, and we praise God. It was a very big testimony, not only for the Lord to save his life, but it was a testimony among the Hindu believers. Now this man whom you see, his name is Kansiram, and he is a mediator. Now the role of a mediator there in Himachal Pradesh is to put curse on a family. Like if you don't like your neighbor, you don't like your relative, you know, you go to the mediator and say that so and so person we don't like, so and so family we don't like, and you put a curse on them. So what he does all the witchcraft and all these kind of things. Now, you know, and then he sends a, you know, curse on that family. Now what happens? You know, it's real. You know, it's really real. I don't know how much you experience this. Even in New Delhi, we don't see all these things. But in place like Himachal, it is real. And, you know, he does some kind of thing. And you know what happens? They are sick. And they are sick, and then they go to the doctor. And the doctor say, I don't see anything wrong in you. All your tests are normal. Your reports are okay. And I can't do anything. You're perfectly all right. But they are not perfectly all right. They are sick. But the test will not show, and they can't take medicines because of that. Or they are just suddenly fighting, or there is argument. Or in extreme cases, it could be, you know, they are sleeping, you know, on you will find a person there sleeping in the night in his own bed. In the morning, he will see he is somewhere out, somewhere in the field. He is sleeping there on the floor. So it's all kind of things are going on, and they become very troubled. And they come to this. This man used to walk on hot coals, and he would put a rod here and remove it from here, and nothing would happen to him. And if you meet him now, he's a believer. He will show you. If you want to come to Himachal Pradesh, you can come and meet him. And he will show you his mark here and his mark here where he would pierce his rod. And now he's an evangelist. He goes and shares the gospel to others. And this is the Dodrakwar place where if you cannot go by a jeep, then you have to go walking this way. And these are the people there in villages, you know. This was a leadership meeting we had. A leadership meeting. Leadership meeting is very important for us. Why? Because we can't go to many places. We can't go up in the villages, mountains. It's just impossible for us to go. It's the local people who are the ones, because they know the language, they can go there, they can share. So we develop these leaders. And these are not some, you know, some theological people, you know, who have done their theology. No, they are just simple folks. Half of them are uneducated, you know, they don't know much. But they know about Jesus, and simple, you know, they just go. you know, Lord did this for me, and you know, and just share the gospel. And we train them, you know, we help them so that they know more about the Bible, so that they can share scriptures with others. And these are the people, you know, so that this is very important for us. They go and, you know, witness to others. This is one of the leadership meeting, and some of the pictures I show. This was he was a madman, and he didn't come to the door of his house for 18 years, right? 18 years, if I'm not. He didn't come because he was a madman. He would, in the evening, he would go and stay in some temple, and his wife, she became a believer. She heard the gospel. And one day when she went to the church, she told pastor, I have a prayer request for you. And he said, what? So she said, my husband, you know, that everybody knew, because he was a famous madman in Roru, Himachal Pradesh. And you know that one? Yeah, yeah, we know him, he's a madman. So that man is my husband, please pray for him. And they prayed for him, and they went to the temple also, some believers, and they prayed for him. And you know, as they continued to pray for him, this man came to his senses. He was totally mad. They prayed for him, he was fully all right. Now he is mentally sane. Nobody would believe that he was a madman for 21 years. And after 21 years, he came back to his home. And now, you know, in churches in like if you have to come to Himachal Pradesh, you can't come by a car, you have to come walking. Many of our believers, they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know, they take food with them, you know, their lunch, because you know, they have to come walking all the way from their house till they reach the service. We have a service there at is it 11 or 11:30? 11:30, I think they have in Himachal Pradesh. And they have to walk, many of them walk for 5 hours or something, so that they can reach this church. And then after the service, they eat their food, and then they go back again, walk for 5 hours. So this man is the one who wakes his family up. Today is the church, we have to go for the service, and he wakes his family up. And praise the Lord did a miraculous work in his life. We have a ministry in Nepal also here. They are having a fellowship. Sometimes, you know, you don't have buildings also. You don't have places, you know. Sometimes you get houses where you can have, and sometimes you don't even have that. So they just come, and then they have a fellowship. They have their prayer there. This is a church in Nepal. These are some of the pictures from Nepal, but I'm just going ahead. As I have some more slides which I have to show, and the believers in Nepal also, they are very, very strong, very much motivated, and they are witnesses also. They go and share the gospel to others. All are believers. They bring many people, you know, and the church, you know, just grows over there. So we are very happy. This is one village where we have the ministry, as well as we have a church there. The village name is Gatera. This is where we have a church there, and they are ready for taking baptism. And so this is a baptism tank in Nepal. So that this is where they come to the river, and then they take the baptism. And like I already shared in the Sunday school, we have a TUTC ministry. This was the first boy who started coming to our church, and he started bringing other children, and they were very poor, and looking at their situation, you know, so he felt burdened to start the train up the child ministry among the poor kids. Now this boy is working now, he's 23 years old, he doesn't look like that, he has some problem, but recently he came to the office. This is our office, this is Sanjeev's office there, and he came to the office and he had many questions. His elder brother had died, and we gave him a New Testament, and I believe he's coming to the church now. And like, he may be irregular, but he comes whenever he can, and he's reading the Bible, and we are praying that this boy may commit his life to the Lord. And these are three girls from TUTC. This is just an example. We have not I cannot share all the testimonies of you know, many girls. Many of them, like these three girls, the father didn't want them because they are girls. So they have a son also. That lady in the yellow shawl, she's the mother, and they have a son. So the father takes the son away lives in some other place, you know, separates himself and then tells his wife, you come and stay with me, but you know, cut these girls into pieces and then you come to me. Then otherwise I won't accept you. So this lady, of course, the mother couldn't do that, and she's working from morning till night. It's like that. Her job is like that. Doesn't earn much well, so she came with the 3 kids for admission, and we gave them admission. So these are some of the children that they come, you know, they have that kind of background. Not much, you know, the parents are busy with their own work, but financially they are not too good, and even the fathers and all, they drink, and whatever money they have, they waste on that. And this is a boy, you know, he is a big boy, but a mental capacity of a second standard only. And he also comes there to the TUTC. And these are some of the pictures. This is the VBS that we had with the children. I'm just going ahead. These are all the VBS. You already saw one of the video of them singing the songs. And, you know, they are a mission field, you know. We just share the love of Christ to them in different ways. Even though in New Delhi we cannot share to them openly, but we encourage them to come to Sunday school, and we teach them from the Word of God. We have Vacation Bible School, and we are just, you know, letting them know. Otherwise many of them didn't even know who Jesus is. And this was the Samaritan boxes. He is a volunteer in that, and we just gave it before we just came here. And this is the TUTC in Nepal that we have. Like I already said, after the earthquake many children lost their parents, and that is how we started the TUTC. There are around 25 children here. Every Friday they have, you know, songs, and they teach from the Word of God to the children. And this is the parents, you know, they also come for Bible study over here. And this is the adult literacy program that we have, because many of them are illiterate, they cannot read the Bible. This is the second set of literacy program that we had in this particular church. In different churches they have, you know, they do it so that they can at least read the Word of God. And this is just the ministry that we have shown as a glance. And we have been here like almost 2 months over here, and we are ready to go back home. But we just came to share about the ministry over here. And of course we have certain needs for our ministry. And we what we need is a monthly support, because that really helps us to support the evangelists, because they are the ones who go out, and they are the ones who are hardworking. And you know, I would say that it's like a like 24/7, you know, either even we also, and in fact we always tell everybody we are getting plenty of rest over here, but once we go back, you know, we just have 1 week to, you know, manage with that jet lag problem that we have. And after 1 week, we will be going to that Dodrakwar village, you know, on top of that mountain. And then we have to go to Nepal. So, and all our evangelists is the same thing. Like I told, if you go to one village, you know, you will be there. They have to be there for 2-3 days or for a week before they come back to their families. So, we don't have a Saturday or a Sunday or evening time, you know, it's just that we are serving the Lord. And we are all our evangelists, we have 22 evangelists with us, and all our evangelists are working hard. And you know, because they work hard, you know, many people today, all from Hindu background, all from demonic things, you know, all from satanic things, you know, they are now in Christ. They are now in Christ. So it's a big blessing. And we like support like $100 for an evangelist, and we need people who can, you know, adopt one evangelist, because when one evangelist you are adopting, you adopt that entire places where they are going and visiting. So, you know, it's like a partnership, you know. And and they are able to do their work without, you know, having tension about taking care of the families, you know, and many, many people, you know. And I would like you, honestly, Pastor, that if you could come as a mission trip, we would be very, very happy if you come and see with your own eyes. Because when you do that, you can literally see, you know, the work that we have, the work that we have. You know, it's just like, you know, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are so few. You would feel like that in a place like India. And we have like the discipleship training, which is very important, and the leadership training, which is very important. And what we would like is that people would support on a monthly basis, and that would be it would be very helpful for us. These are all our like evangelists who are working in the, this. This is also one need we have, and we want this bike for an evangelist in Himachal Pradesh. Though when they go on top of the mountains, like, you know, they cannot. So they have to use a bike to go to certain places. You know, they don't, as many times the buses, oh, it's like one in the morning and then you get one in the afternoon. You know, those kind of, you know, they cannot waste time. So they have to go buy bikes and park it somewhere, and then they have to go up. You know, there are many places. So one evangelist need a bike, you know. So it costs like around $1,000 for that. Would like, appreciate if anybody would like to support that. So thank you so much for listening to us, and thank you so much, Pastor. You are already supporting us, for which we are very thankful to you, and we would like you to be our prayer partners also. I know Pastor is getting our news update, and we would like you to keep in touch with us, you know, just know what is going on, you know. And we don't, I believe us, you know, we don't send big newsletters, because nobody reads newsletters these days. I know that. But if you get one from us, please, you know, take the time to read. We don't make it very big. We make it very short, so you can read it. You know, even if you're in a car or something, you can just read it. And if you would like to have our updates and know what is going on and pray for us, we have kept a diary at the back. You know, you can just write your email address and your name, and you will get the updates. And we would also like you to take the flyer with you. There's a flyer there. You know all about the ministry. And there's a family photograph of us. We have a son who is married, and we have one grandson, and we are longing to meet him when we go back. And we have a daughter, and she too is a full-time Source of Light missionary. She's working with us, and she's a great help to me now that I'm here. You know, she's the one who's handling everything over there. And do pray for us, and remember us in your ministry, in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you.